Well, good morning, church. Thank you for coming. Of course, good morning to everybody who's joining us online, which I think this morning is probably a little more than usual because I think we are all experiencing the post-Christmas coma. Anybody in that same category? Kind of just like, hey, I got to get out of bed this morning. Life continues. All right, I still am feeling all the food that I ate over Christmas. But we're praising Jesus to be here. And we finished our Christmas series, Unwrapping Christmas. And now we're in the last Sunday of the year, last Sunday of 2024. I invite you to join us next week as we jump into kind of our yearly direction, if you will, for the year. We're going to start off in the book of Colossians, and we're going to be talking about all in, being all in for Jesus and what that means and how that affects our lives and really setting our course right as we jump into 2025. So being the last Sunday in 2024, I really didn't have anything planned, so I was like, man, praise the Lord, I get to preach on whatever I want. So as we praying about it, it kind of came to the idea that, hey, when we get to the end of stuff, especially the end of a year, hey, we start to look back and ask the question, what if? What if? And maybe you don't necessarily want to say that publicly, but as you look back at the year, maybe you're thinking, hey, what if this last year, what if I would have spent more time with my kids? What if I didn't go into work all those extra hours, put in all that overtime? What if I would have just spent more time with my family? What would have happened? Or maybe you're thinking of from an educational perspective, you're like, man, what if I would have went back to school? What if I would have got that degree? Would my life be any different? Or maybe you're like me and you're like, oh man, what if I didn't eat all that junk food, you know, all throughout the year? Would I maybe got a little slimmer? Probably. But all those things, all those what-if questions, when we come to the end of something, a lot of times we like to look back and go, hey, what if? What if I would have done this different? But really, none of that can change anything. Because the past is the past, and we can't change the past. It's going to be what it is. So what I want us to do is I want us to take this question, what if? And before we even start 2025, I want to ask this question. What if we have mustard seed faith? What if we have mustard seed faith? What would happen to us as a church? What would happen to us as followers of Jesus Christ? Amen. Amazing things. So we're going to look at that this morning and ask that question, what if we have mustard seed faith? We're going to look at what mustard seed faith is and then what the results of that faith are. And as we do, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 17, verses 14, starting in 14, finishing in verse 21 there. And I want us just to prepare our hearts and our minds as we jump into this and really ask, hey, what if? What if? Starting there in verse 14. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and kneeling before him said, Lord, have mercy on my son. For he is epileptic, and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire, and often into water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus in privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, for your care for us as your sons and daughters. God, that as we sang, you never leave us, you're always with us. God, even in those times when we lack faith, even in those times where we do fear or we do doubt, Lord, you're still there. Lord, you're still holding our hand and wrapping us up in your omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent arms. Father, I pray as we have this last Sunday of the year, what I pray is we ask that question, what if? But I pray that you would bring it as a reality. Lord, that as we step out in faith and obedience, Lord, that you'd move the mountain. And Lord, you know exactly what faces us as a church. You know what faces us as individuals. And a lot of times those things, Lord, they just look huge. They look impossible. But God, you say you have it. So Father, I pray that you would bring this change in us, that our hearts, our hands, and our feet would be firm on your word, on your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, you'd bring the change and the work that only you could do. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, as we read that section of scripture there from the Gospel of Matthew, starting there in verse 14 through 21, we got to get some context of what we're jumping into here, because it's kind of a standalone message. We're not preaching verse by verse. But as we do, we understand that Matthew, the author here, once again, was that tax collector called by Jesus, radically changes his life, and he writes inspired by the Holy Spirit. He gives this account that he was witness to as a disciple. And really what we have here is Jesus teaching a lesson in faith. A lesson not only for the disciples that surrounded him, but for disciples in the here and now, we need to hear this. We need this lesson in faith that Jesus teaches. And to get that understand, we need to understand the people involved here. So we have the man and his son. We just read about him. The man and his son. The man, he's got a son. His son is possessed by this demon. This demon causes seizures so much so that this son just kind of violently falls into fire, into water, almost dies. I mean, he's in extreme pain. So this man brings his son to the disciples, our next group. The disciples who couldn't cast out the demon. Now, this is important because if you look back to chapter 10 of the Gospel of Matthew, what did Jesus give the disciples? He gave them authority and power to cast out demons. So they've been doing it. They've done it. And all of a sudden, here comes this young boy, and all of a sudden they can't do it. So what happened? Because then you got the man and the son. He brings the son to the disciples. The disciples can't cast out the demon. But then Jesus ultimately, in an instant, boom, casts that demon out, rebukes it. It's gone. The boy is healed instantly. And then the disciples, kind of embarrassed behind the scenes, walk up to Jesus and they say, "What is going on? What happened? Why could we not cast this demon out, but we could cast out other demons? What's the difference?" And Jesus says one thing: "Hey, you lack faith. You lack faith." And in doing so, Jesus gives this course correction to his disciples, which really sets them straight. Because if you look back, this same account is recorded in Mark and Luke, both in Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9. But in Mark chapter 9, we get a little more insight where Jesus says, "Hey, the only way this demon is cast out is through a lot of prayer." Through a lot of prayer. What does prayer take? Prayer takes faith. Prayer is saying, "Hey, we can't do it. We don't have the ability. We got to go to the one who can, and the one who can is God himself." So when you look at Mark chapter 9 plus what we read here in Matthew chapter 17, what Jesus is doing is he's giving giving them a faith source correction. A faith source correction. Meaning, hey, that these disciples, they could cast out demons before. They were doing it. They were casting them out. They were healing people. Jesus gave them that power, but all of a sudden, just like we get sometimes after stuff starts to happen, we get a little success. Hey, we're able to do some stuff. And then all of a sudden it becomes, hey, me over he. It becomes we over he. Meaning, since we can do it and we've done it, hey, we start to put a little faith in ourselves rather than in Jesus. We start to lean on ourselves as a source of our faith, as a source of the good things that are to come, are the things that we accomplish in ministry, the things we accomplish in life, rather than placing that faith in Jesus. And this is where he corrects them. And he says, hey, when your source of faith is right, because hey, when it comes, this demon comes out with fervent prayer, understanding that, hey, prayers are dependence on God. When our faith is placed in the right spot, even a small amount of faith does great things. And I don't necessarily know why or where or who, but I think we can all take a deep breath and say, hey, I need this morning. We've got one. Hey, that we face a mountain. You face a mountain personally, we face a mountain as a church. But that same mountain can be moved, hey, when we have even the smallest amount of faith in Jesus. When we have that mustard seed faith, the mountain is movable. It no longer becomes impossible, but it becomes possible. So when we ask that question, hey, what if we have mustard seed faith? We need to understand, hey, what that faith is. What does mustard seed faith consist of? Because this isn't the first time Jesus has used the mustard seed as an illustration in a story or in a parable. When we look at mustard seed faith, if we're going to have it, we need to understand, hey, that mustard seed faith is progressive. I don't mean liberal, I mean progressive. Mustard seed faith grows and develops over time. Mustard seed faith, even though it starts small, it doesn't end small. When we come to Jesus, hey, when we repent of our sin, put our faith and trust in Him, hey, that's kind of the beginning part of our faith. Even if that starts very small, you know what, Lord, you're putting it on my heart. I believe in my heart that you died for my sin, that you rose from the grave, and I give my life over to you. Hey, He brings us from spiritual death to spiritual life. But that faith doesn't stop at our salvation. That faith continues to grow as we walk with Him. And Jesus says this when He talks about, hey, the mustard seed. He talks about it in Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Jesus here is talking about the kingdom of God. He talks about it through a parable, bringing a story to life through something that they all knew, talking about the kingdom of God. Hey, that the kingdom of God, hey, it's going to start small, like that mustard seed. Jesus inaugurated the kingdom with His coming. And it was going to continue to start small and be small as He gathered that small band of disciples. And He goes to the cross, He gets put in that empty tomb, He raises from the grave, and He still only has this small band of disciples. But as Jesus commissions the 12, or the 11, because Judas is no longer part of that, he betrays Jesus, and He commissions the 11, and He says, hey, go and make disciples. Teach all that I have commanded of you. Teach people to obey all that I have commanded. And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's leaving it to these 11. And eventually this commission to the 11 spreads all throughout the world. All across the world. Churches all over the place. The kingdom of God has grown and grown and grown and grown. But it started very small. And just like that, that same illustration that Jesus uses for the kingdom of God, He uses now to talk about our faith. That yes, our faith starts very small, but it doesn't end there. It should continue to grow. It needs to grow. That's what mustard seed faith is. It doesn't stop at the seed. It grows into this beautiful tree that has deep roots and blesses other people. Jesus talked about the branches providing shade and shelter for the animals. Hey, when we have deep-rooted faith that continues to grow, it blesses those around us. People want to be around somebody who's faithful. People want to be around somebody who trusts in Jesus, who walks by faith. But just like that seed, hey, our faith, if it's going to be progressive, if we're going to have mustard seed faith that's going to grow, we need ingredients. We need the proper ingredients. We need the right ingredients that are going to help this faith grow. And we look at a mustard seed. What does a seed need? Any seed. It needs to be planted, right? It needs to be planted in some soil. It's got to be good, fertile soil. Just like Jesus said in another place, it can't be rocky, it can't be filled with weeds, it can't be hard packed. It's got to be good, fertile, ready soil. And as that seed is planted in that soil, it needs some moisture, it needs water. And as that water penetrates that seed and interacts with some heat, hey, it starts to grow. Soil, water, heat are exactly what this seed needs. And just like that seed, us as the people of God, hey, we need proper ingredients for our faith to grow. For that mustard seed faith to be progressive, we need ingredients. Hey, we need the Word of God. Hey, we can't do it without the Word of God. We read in Proverbs 22, verses 17 through 19. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you. If all of them are ready on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord, I have made them known to you today, even to you. Hey, where does wisdom come from? Where does knowledge come from? It comes from the Lord. It comes from the truth of His Word. Hey, if we're going to grow, we need to be rooted in the Word of Christ. We need it to permeate our hearts. We need to be so deeply rooted in the Word that, hey, when we don't have it, we should have a deep yearning that we're missing something. So we need the Word of God, but, hey, we need the Spirit of God. If our faith is going to grow, not only do we need the Word, the truth of God, but we need the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God living in us is going to illuminate Scripture for us and guide us in all truth. We read it in John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. We need the Word of God with the Spirit of God to guide us, to show us exactly who Jesus is, that we can rely on Him, that the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same one that rose from the grave, the same one that brought His people out of bondage, hey, still lives and has risen today and resides in every believer. So we need the Word of God, we need the Spirit of God, hey, but we need the people of God. If we're going to be rooted in the Word, if we're going to be rooted in the truth of Christ and be guided and enabled and taught and encouraged through the Spirit of God, hey, we need the people of God to come together and to spur us on to those good works, to spur us on to be faithful, to help us when we doubt, to help us when we fear. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells, hey, iron sharpens iron. That's one believer sharpens another. Hey, we can't do this without each other. So we talk about having mustard seed faith that's progressive, mustard seed faith that's growing. Hey, we need our brothers and sisters. It's going to take each other stepping into each other's lives to say, hey, I know you're doubting right now. I know there's some fear and there's some anxiety as you walk through this whole thing. But Jesus has us. But Jesus knows exactly what's on the other side. And as we walk through it, hey, He doesn't leave us. I've seen it in my own life. I know He's working in yours. The enemy would love nothing more than to isolate every single one of us to just grow that doubt and that fear and just help and just have that faith just crumble. Hey, but there's strength in numbers. There's strength when we're in this together, when we're committed to one another under the banner of Jesus Christ. That's where the church becomes unstoppable. I remember very early on in my ministry journey and kind of moving back to Minnesota, I would always get the question, especially when my military background would come up. And they'd say, hey, well, you did 16 years. Why would you leave that? 4 more years, you'd get a retirement. 4 more years, you'd get a pension for the rest of your life, man. From the age of 38 all the way to 98, when you die, you get paid by the U.S. government. That's kind of stupid that you leave that. Why would you do that? And it's a valid question. But the thinking is so completely off, it's crazy. Because when somebody asks me that, I like to kind of laugh at them a little bit. Like, you think the same God that rose from the grave can't handle my retirement? You think the same God that parted the Red Sea doesn't have my future in hand? It may sound stupid to you, but actually you sound pretty dumb. Because Jesus has it all figured out. Because that same mountain of retirement, hey, is a little tiny molehill to Jesus. Hey, and let me tell you, I've been blessed beyond measure. I don't even know if I'm going to live to retirement age, though. Praise Jesus. Hey, so we look at our mustard seed faith. We understand that, hey, it's progressive, that it grows over time, that as we spend time with Christ in prayer and in the Word by the Spirit of God and through the people of God, hey, we start to grow. We start to see who Jesus is. We start to see that he keeps his promises, that he's reliable, that he's faithful, that he watches out for us, and he grows us. And it starts small, but it continues to grow over time. But then secondly, our mustard seed faith, hey, it's preconditioned. Maybe say, well, what do you mean preconditioned? That our faith requires complete dependence on God. There's a condition to our faith that we just don't have faith in random things. We don't have faith in the stars, and we don't have faith in random books or what some YouTuber says on the internet. We have faith and dependence on God and God alone. That's the condition that needs to be met. That was the whole source, the faith source correction that Jesus gives his disciples when he talks about prayer. Hey, that your faith needs to be placed in the right spot. And that is in God and in nowhere else. He brings us forth in another parable talking about a seed in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. This man here, this farmer, he's scattering seed. He's throwing it on that soil. It gets planted in that soil, and then he goes about his daily business. He does his daily things. Day and he sleeps at night. He gets up during the day. He does his work. Hey, he doesn't know how, but he has faith that the seed is going to grow. Faith that God is going to bring the growth. That God is going to be the one to move the mountain. That God is going to be the one to grow us spiritually. That God is going to be the one to bring about the healing. That God is going to be the one to bring about, hey, the change and the strength and the comfort and the peace. But we need to be dependent on him. Because here's the sad part, church, because this is where we get to. So often we don't even scatter the seed because we want to be dependent on ourselves. We want to take that seed and we want to study that seed. We want to say, okay, well, if it's going to get planted and it's going to get planted right, hey, the soil's got to be right. I need some water. I need some heat. Okay, I need to get all this stuff figured out. I need to plant all of it. And we never even throw it. Because throwing it would mean, hey, it's out of our control, and we need to trust somebody else other than ourselves to handle it and to bring the growth. So we like to keep it in our hand. We like to control it. We don't want to take the chance of putting it in God's hands. But he says, hey, it needs to be scattered. Hey, the word of God needs to be sown. The word of God needs to be shared. The gospel needs to penetrate hearts. But in order for it to do that, hey, somebody's got to throw the seed. Somebody's got to have the faith to say, okay, as I share this verse, as I pray for this person, as I share the gospel or step into this person's life, hey, God's going to do something. That requires complete faith and dependence on him. And nothing else. So you may ask the question, well, how do I truly know if I'm being dependent on God? How do I know if I'm sold out for him and I'm dependent on him and nothing else? I say, look no further than your prayer life and your praise life. First of all, your prayer life, we're bringing that back to the end of Mark 9, the same account, because Jesus says, hey, this demon doesn't come out by anything but prayer. Showing our dependence on God. See, because if you truly understand that you need God and you can't do it without him, then that's going to drive you to your knees in prayer. Because if you don't need something, you don't ask for help. I'm going to say that again. Hey, if you feel like you don't need something, you don't ask for help. If my car's running fine, let's say Brother Jim here is a mechanic. He's a great mechanic. For all intents and purposes, wonderful mechanic. But if I feel like my car's running fine, I'm not going to go to Jim and go, hey, Jim, my car's running fine. Getting great gas mileage. No problems whatsoever. Would you mind fixing it? I'm not going to do that because I feel like I don't need a mechanic. I'm not being dependent on my mechanic because I feel like I don't need him. Hey, but when something goes wrong, then I'm calling the mechanic right away. I'm calling Jim. And sometimes that's how we get in our walk with Christ. Is that, yes, we want this mustard seed faith. We want this faith to grow. We want it to grow over time and start small and get bigger. And we want to be completely dependent on God, but we completely shut him out until something bad happens. We don't need him until the lights no longer turn on. We don't need him until there's a sickness we can't heal with medication. We don't need him until we need him. But we need to understand, hey, that we don't just need him when we face the mountain. We need him all the time. Hey, in our prayer life should reflect that. Our prayer life should be a reflection of our dependence on God, which is daily, which is every minute, which is every second. That's why Paul tells us today to pray without ceasing. But not only our prayer life, but hey, our praise life. Because we understand we are completely dependent on God and he hears prayer and he answers prayer, hey, our praises should reflect that. When we put our complete faith and dependence on God, hey, we should be praising him all the way through. Because a lot of times, even when we pray and we love to bring our requests, sometimes when they're answered, we forget where they came from. We forget the one true risen King who actually answered that prayer. Or we get too busy and we feel like, you know what, I'll do that later. God knows where I'm at. No, if we are completely dependent on him and it's seen through our prayer, then hey, our praises should reflect the same thing. That there shouldn't be really hours or days or weeks or months that go by where we're not like, oh man, Lord, you are awesome. Man, you brought these kids and they sing and we've been praying for them for so long. God, you're so great. You brought the growth. Lord, we've been praying for the seats to be filled. You're bringing it. Our numbers are up. You are so great. Hey, praise you. Hey, church, God, we've been looking for you to change hearts and to break the chains of addiction in people, to reconcile marriages, to change people from the inside out, to reach a community. Hey, you're doing it. Praise you. Hey, when our prayer life and our praise life mirror our true dependence on him, hey, that's where that mustard seed faith starts to grow. It's progressive, it's preconditioned, and then lastly, it's persistent. Hey, it never gives up. We want it to grow. We yearn for our faith to grow. We put our dependence on God and our faith in him, but a lot of times, man, we give up before we even get going. We face the smallest obstacle and we throw in the towel. We face the smallest bit of hardship and we're like, not for me. Somebody else can take it over. But Jesus shares, hey, that's not where we're supposed to be. If we're going to have mustard seed faith, we need to not give up. We need to be persistent. Tells us in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, another parable. to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. And he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous just says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Jesus shares this parable with his disciples to teach about persistent prayer. Remember what our prayer is. It's showing our dependence on God. That we should persist. That we should know that he's the one who brings what we need. He's the one who gives us the strength and the comfort and the peace. And because of that, hey, we need to persist in prayer. We need to persist and not give up and not doubt and not fear. And even when we face a struggle, hey, when the time comes and, hey, and we face that unjust judge or that thing that just seems like it's taking forever, he says, don't quit. Have faith. Keep praying. And even as the unjust judge gives the justice because he doesn't want to be bothered, how much will your Father in heaven, who loves you, who cares for you, who watches over, how much more will he give justice? It requires some faith to be persistent. It requires some faith to keep coming back and asking and pleading with God. To have your heart broken for a lost community. To seek God to answer prayer that seems impossible. But Jesus says that's what mustard seed faith is. It's persistent. It doesn't give up. And when we have these, when we have this mustard seed faith, when we have this faith that grows, when we have it dependent fully on God, when we persist and we don't give up, he says, hey, powerful results come. He tells us there, in verse 20, as he closes out his lesson to the disciples, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, a lot of times we like to take this and go, man, if I believe real hard, I can will it into existence. When we look at what mustard seed faith truly is, hey, when it grows, when it's rooted in Christ, hey, when we don't give up, yeah, mountains move. Jesus didn't just say this just to say it. Like here's some good motivational free chicken for y'all. Like, oh, I hope your mountain moves when it gets in front of you. No, he says it'll move. Powerful results come when we have mustard seed faith. It may not be exactly the way you want it to be. God may not move that mountain how you want it moved, but he says he'll move it. He says it won't be impossible, but it will be possible. So I ask you, do you believe that today? What if we approach 2025 with mustard seed faith? What if we take even the smallest amount of faith rooted in Christ, whom through all things are possible? What if we have that? We'll see some mountains moved. You'll see some mountains moved. Church, I tell you, there's no other place I'd rather be than staring at a mountain going, man, Lord, you can move that thing. Now, you may not have one personally, but I was just praying about these mountains last night because I couldn't sleep. Thinking, Lord, what are our mountains? We've got a $1.9 million mountain. Looking at an addition. Am I the only one that thinks that's big? That's pretty big. God can move it. Praise the Lord. Hey, I know we've got a bigger mountain of reaching a lost community. A small rural church in northern Minnesota. How do they affect thousands of lost people in the Brainerd Lakes area? How do they affect a state that's so liberal and turned from Christ so much that it's walking down the wrong path? That's a big mountain to have an effect in a community like that. God can move it. Whatever your mountain is, I'm going to change the question as we close out this morning. We're going to pray. But not what if we have mustard seed faith. I'm going to say, hey, are you willing to bring your mountain? Are you willing to bring that mountain before Jesus? And ask him to move it. Are you willing to put your faith in him? And say, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to take you at your word when you say, hey, if I have mustard seed faith, and if it's put in the right place, if it grows, if it's dependent on you, and if it's persistent, you say the mountain will move. So here's my mountain. I'm bringing mine this morning. I encourage you to bring yours. Church, let's bow our heads together. There's a time of response, you before the Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for your love. Lord, we're so thankful for the truth of your word. Lord, we're so thankful that you would reveal to us your character and your nature. That you would know that with that as your sons and daughters, that we would doubt. That there would be times where we say, I don't know if this can go on. I don't know if this can be done. But Lord, you say, hey, yeah, the mountain can be moved. I can do it. But it's going to take some faith on your part. So, Father, I just pray as we bring those mountains before you, Lord, I pray that as we step into this year, and we wait, and we pray, and we have faith, and we praise. Lord, I pray that the mountains would be moved. And Lord, as we see a move, that we wouldn't look to ourselves and say, hey, look what we did, but we say, hey, look what Jesus did. Look how great and mighty and powerful is he. Look at how he is still alive and active. Look at how he still has the power to break chains. He still forgives sin. He still redeems souls. His church continues to move forward. So, Father, I pray that you would bring that change in us. And we wouldn't even have to ask the question, what if? But we just start bringing the mountains before you. Father, I pray for that person here who's facing that biggest mountain. That mountain of doubt of knowing who you are. And if that's you this morning, all you got to do is call in the name of Jesus. Know that he died for your sin on that cross. His shed blood is enough to cover your sin. And he rose from the grave on the third day to give you that picture of eternal life. That it's yours by believing in your heart that he rose from the grave, by calling on his name, surrendering your life to him, and let him move that mountain. Lord, we love you, thank you, praise you, pray it all in Jesus' name, amen. Church, I invite you to stand. We're going to sing one last time. And as we sing Trust in God, hey, each one of us has a mountain. He wants you to bring it. So I invite you, hey, I'll be down front. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Let's let Jesus move that mountain today. Blessed assurance. Yes, Lord, you will never fail. Lord, we trust in you and we trust fully. Lord, as we bring our mountains before you, Lord, we know that you can move them. And God, we pray that as we do, Lord, that we would see you in a new light, in a new way. Lord, that you would grow our faith. That we know it starts small, but Lord, it would be big. It would be like that tree that towers over everything, knowing that the one true risen King, Jesus Christ, is alive and well, that his church perseveres through the power of his Holy Spirit, that he still brings life change, that he still opens eyes, that he still brings healing and comfort and peace and strength. And of course, God, that you'd get all the praise and all the glory. And we pray it all in the name of Jesus.
I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Never fail. I trust in God.
Yes, Lord, we lift up your name. Lord, we pray as we leave here today, as we step into this new year, God, that we would be faithful. God, that we wouldn't doubt or we wouldn't fear and we persevere through these things. God, whatever we face, we'd bring it to you, knowing that you can accomplish it, that you bring the victory. And Lord, we'd walk in that victory. We'd walk in the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray it all in his name. Amen.